Hey, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Lovely Travels podcast.
Oh, I like that. Is this our new intro? We were just chatting about music.
Yeah, I'm inspired by Charlie Acord. I've decided to pursue a career in singing.
Jingle intro podcast. You know, there's probably quite a market for podcast music. We paid for ours, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so okay. You're quitting and doing that. Great.
And like thanks the phoenix from the ashes.
Thanks for that. We've had 58 episodes. It's been good. Or 60.
Now it's time to reduce the subscriber count.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
One can increase. Hello and welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Lovely Travels podcast. Emma, how are you?
I'm good. I'm going to segue quickly, because I've been listening to another podcast. I know, cheating on us.
What?
I know. There's more, Darius. You wouldn't believe it, but there's actually other podcasts out there. It was Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders, and theirs is called Titting About. Titting About. And I was like,
What's the segue?
I just think it's very funny, and I was like, I feel like we tit about, and I think basically that's what a podcast is, titting about. Sometimes I'm like, I feel like we need more structure, and then I'm like, no, the lulls.
I think we need less structure.
All right, we can work on that. We can do that.
So, just I'm going to throw you a curveball. How about we talk about Hungary this episode?
Stop it. Let's.
Well, you've been to Hungary, haven't you?
I've been to Hungary many times. I've been to Hungary this morning. I've been to Hungary. but I've actually been to the country, Hungary. I went in 2017. I'm squinting my eyes because I'm just remembering. I literally have my photos open to ensure that I get it right. Yes, November 2017. And Darius, it was meant to be a trip that we were going to do together, but sadly you had to bail.
I remember it differently.
It didn't quite come together. So that turned into a lovely gals trip with our mutual lovely friend, Emily Wemmerly.
Emily Wemmerly. What a lid. Shout out to Emily Wemmerly.
It's her official name.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, I was terribly unemployed at the time and
chronically unemployed. Excuses, Darius. Excuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was
something
a good
like
one.
That.
Yeah. So we were actually tossing up between Poland and Hungary. And so it's pretty cool that you and I ended up in Poland together. But that is not today. That is not for today.
No.
Today is Hungary.
I did go to Hungary after all that. I was there in 2019 had a bit of a boys' weekend.
Boys' trip. It's actually a very good – I was meant to be there last year, bar humbug to COVID. I was meant to be there in September for my friend's hens. It's actually quite a good – it is a good – hens, bucks sort of trip for Europe, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's the cheap beer and the delicious food.
Well, yeah, it's really good, lovely restaurants, bars, and then like they've got those really cool, the cool bars.
The courtyardy ones.
Yeah, the name's escaping me. They're like kind of junky, kind of funky, kind of. I'm going to look it up right now. Oh, and I've lost it. The things. Oh, it's gone.
The ruin bars.
Yes, the ruin bars. That's what they're called. Yes. Yeah, they were very, very cool.
For anyone who hasn't been, it's like the Hungarian buildings are often built around a courtyard. And in some of these courtyards, there are like, yeah, these sort of half outdoor bars, and it's a little bit trashy and funky lights and just, yeah, just wild parties.
Yeah, like really, yeah, good night out. And it's very easy to get around. So I think, like me, you were just in the capital, Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. My fun fact. The name Budapest is because there's two parts to the city. There's Buda and there's Pest. And so you're either in, you know, and they're actually quite, you know, if you live in Buda, you don't like Pest. And if you live in Pest, you don't like Buda. And that was mind blown for me.
Did you know that it was almost, the story goes, it was almost called Pest Buda because there was some disagreement about which of the cities should come first.
Well, I'm sorry to Pest, but I feel like it has more of a ring to it. I have to say, one of my favourite memories, this is very childlike and very, very high school of me, we were posing, they have giant, the letters, which is quite cool, the giant Budapest in the city, and I was there with Emily, and then both of our names start with E, so we were posing with the E, but what I did was zoomed out a little bit and got a photo of her in front of Pest. And just put it up on social media. And I was like, yes, she is. for those that maybe don't speak English, Pest in English is like, you know, a cockroach would be a pest.
Yeah.
Something.
Something annoying.
Annoying, yes. So yeah. I'm pretty sure after that little incident, Emily found me to be quite the pest.
In German, Pest is the plague. Or a plague.
Accurate for the time we're in. But not for Pest. The place. It was lovely. It was not plague-like at all. And one of the best things I did in the city, which is something, it's kind of a chain now throughout Europe, is the free walking tours. The free walking tour was fantastic.
We should always do an episode on free walking tours. I have a lot of good things to say.
Well, yeah, and sometimes those things seem quite touristy. I'm quite partial to a hop-on, hop-off bus as well. Ooh, I know that they look very touristy, but they're very convenient and very good value, and you can see a lot. Mm. You can either sit there and enjoy the view, or you can get off, hop off, and enjoy the sights.
It's true. It's true. What else did you get up to when you were in Budapest?
Well, I did not. I'll tell you what I did not do, Emily.
Okay.
I did not go to the baths. No, that's a lie. I did go to the baths, but I didn't go in the baths because we were there for a short time and Emily wasn't super keen on it. So we had an afternoon where we decided we'd go our separate ways and do things and then reunite.
Drunk without her.
Well, no, by the time I went over to the baths and I got in there, I kind of had about an hour or so and I thought, this isn't really a sort of dip in, dip out situation. Like the baths are something that you would go and, you know, really, it's sort of luxurious. Well, some of them aren't as luxurious, but they're an experience. You go and sit in them, you enjoy them. And also I think it's something that would be quite nice to share with someone. And so I got there and I was by myself, it was going to be a bit rushed. And I thought, another time, Budapest, another time. And then Emily went back and bloody did it, didn't she? She was like, I did it. So there's quite a few famous ones around. Did you partake in the bathing?
Yes. Please don't ask me what any of them were called.
No, well, I can tell you a few of the famous ones because, and I'll share it in the show notes. I actually wrote an article, a travel guide about the about Budapest.
Oh, and wow. So the thermal baths. Where can people find that?
They can find that on She Defined, and I will also share it in the show notes, and I will share it on Lovely Travels at some point in the distant future, maybe by the time you're actually listening to this. But the two sort of some of the two of the well-known ones are there's Sechenil, which is the largest medicinal bath in Europe, and it's famous for its relaxing and therapeutic waters. Or there's the Gellert. I don't know, I think they might say Gellert, but Gellert Spa. And that one's set in a hotel on the border side, and that's where I went. I went and had a look at that, and it's got these beautiful glass ceilings and stained glass, so beautiful sort of light coming through. And it's got a lovely grand entrance hall, and there's a bunch of different baths to choose from, and it's kind of one of the more authentic Budapest bath experiences. So
before, when you said if you asked me if I'd been to any baths, I understood bars. Oh. And I went to a lot of bars.
So you baths.
No.
All right. But you can drink at the bath, so maybe you had forgotten that you had done that. But it was a bit further than I had planned for my little walk. But, it's one of those things where I absolutely, sometimes it's just nice to walk. And I wasn't on the walking tour at the time, but just to walk through the city. And I was crossing the river. It's the Danube that runs through a number of countries in Europe. And it was just lovely. I just kept stopping. Taking lots of photos. I just kept stopping and just sort of looking and really enjoying being where I was, and that's why it took me so long to get there. And I thought, you know what, I'd rather just do a bit more of this, just taking in the city, looking around.
We went like I said, we were on a boys trip, so we did visit a lot of bars.
Yes,
not baths, bars.
Enunciate.
And then we also went for quite a lovely walk around Budapest and onto the Pest side. There's like the mountain bit. There's a big park you can walk through and the great views of the city. Can highly recommend that. And we also went to a underground shooting range. Emma just sneezed.
I always try and do that subtly, and I knew it as I was doing it that you were going to say it anyway.
We went to an underground shooting range, and it was pretty fun. I don't really like the old violence, but I still managed to shoot like an AK-47, a shotgun, and a pistol, and some other stuff, which is an experience. And it's pretty popular in Budapest because of all the aforementioned stag do's.
Yeah.
So it seems like a very manly thing to do, to go and shoot some guns underground.
There is a bit of an undergroundy vibe of Budapest. But I was looking back through my photos before, and quite different to your trip, I had quite a large chunk of photos that were me trying on outfits. So one of my sightseeing activities was the inside of the H&M. Which was very good because they do vary quite a lot. So top tip, the Budapest H&M is excellent. And
other clothing stores are available.
They are, but this one was particularly good. Actually, we did do quite a bit of shopping. It was really nice on the Pest side. They had these lovely sort of cobbled streets. They were quite wide avenue type things. We had a really lovely breakfast one morning sitting out at a cafe. And, it was just nice. It was sort of a nice place to go shopping. And although the shops weren't anything flash, everything was laid out well. And it was just a nice experience. And for me, coming from Australia, when I go to Europe in winter, we don't get very good winter fashion in Australia, or it's very expensive. So I do quite enjoy shopping.
Right. Speaking of winter, I was there in February, which is probably the worst time to visit because there's a lot of like grey snow slush everywhere, and it's cold and moist and ugh. Wasn't like the weather was terrible when we were there, so we didn't have a choice but to go into a lot of bars.
I see. Yes. Okay. Well, but at least there were things for you to do. November was crisp. It was lovely. Like, we were very fortunate. Obviously, got a photo of a beautiful sunset over the river, looking back over the Parliament House from the castle, which is on the Buddha side. And that was, it was just really very clear, very crisp and clear, the weather was. So I don't mind, again, I don't really experience proper winter, so for me it's kind of nice to rug up. And the benefit of going in November was that we had they had a Christmas market, which you know that I enjoy, and it was really cool because I enjoy the Christmas market format, which is quite similar in a lot of places, but there the food was different. So they had some like typical Hungarian food,
langos.
Yes, langos. We talked about this on the Christmas episode.
Possibly.
And they had these cone things which they filled. It was like a pastry cone, kind of like a donut cone. And they put things
in. Conut.
A conut. That's the official term. But it was like,
the important question.
Walk around.
Sorry. The important question is, did you have any goulash?
I believe I
some
did.
Goulash.
I believe I did, but I loved the food. It was very, I really like that, I'm going to say Eastern European style.
Meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes and the like cabbagey sort of thing. I really enjoy those flavors. And again, being in winter, there's very hearty and filling. And Emily is a good diner. She quite enjoys. And she had it awesome. One of her colleagues was his favorite city in the whole of Europe was Budapest. So he gave us this amazing list of places to go, which was really, really helpful. And it was really nice to go and have like long lunches to sit, really enjoy the food, have some glasses of wine and cocktails at a few other places. And it was very affordable. I found it to be very affordable.
I really enjoyed like 3 o'clock in the morning after a whole series of beers to find a place that did like all night goulash and then like steaming hot beef stew with lots of paprika and it's good.
Yes, paprika is an ingredient they use a lot because one of my favorite dishes there was the chicken paprikash. And basically it's like, sort of a chicken dish, a rich, hearty dish. And it's got the paprika in the sauce. And then it's served with that like kind of noodly stuff, like in, what do you call that in Germany? Like the...
Spätzle?
Yeah. I think it was Spätzle. But tiny little dumplings, aren't they?
Yeah, it's similar sort of, it's like a mixture between a dumpling and a noodle.
Yes. And it is very good with that. And it just was really delicious. And we had that at the Derene. There's lots of accents on it, so I'm not pronouncing things very well. Derene. But Bistro. I really enjoyed that that one. One of my other favorite places to eat, and we actually went there twice. I enjoyed it so much, was Mazel Tov. There is quite a prominent Jewish quarter on the Pest side, and Mazel Tov was in that area, and it's one of the ruin bars. And so, the ruin bars are like, kind of buildings that would be run down-ish, but they've vamped them up. And this had, like you said before, those beautiful big courtyard, the beautiful twinkle lights, leafy green, like they'd sort of brought the outdoors indoors and just phenomenal cocktails and that sort of, I guess, I'm going to say it's in the wrong place. The type of food would be, I don't know, like hummuses and wraps and that's, you know what I mean? Like it's
Middle Eastern.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm looking for. It was Middle Eastern sort of cuisine, and it was very tasty. Cocktails and Middle Eastern cuisine. So mezza plates and things like that. It was really tasty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Emma, did you know that Hungary is one of the oldest countries in Europe? Do you want to take a guess at the year it was founded?
Oh, if it's the oldest. I don't know when Europe was founded, because it was different in the ancient times. I don't know. Let's say 800.
Well, not bad. 895 or 96 or 97, depending what website you look at.
I actually should know that, because they would have told us on the walking tour. And Hungary's had quite a history of being taken over or being in different – it was sort of parts of different – countries. What was the? Was it when it was
famously part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire?
Yes, yes. So I was going to say, yeah, Austria.
I think not so much that it was part of different countries; it like took part in different countries.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they had quite a royal family that married out a lot. There's quite a lot of famous royals that have a Hungarian.
Goes beyond the scope of my researched facts.
I do remember that from the walking tour. They're like the descendants, and even when I've been in Austria, a lot of marriages, you know, because they would marry between countries for power, happened between, yes, Hungary and Austria.
And did you know that the 1986 Hungarian Grand Prix was the first Formula One race to take place behind the Iron Curtain?
No, I did not. That's a big part of their, I guess, more recent history was.
Became communist after World War II.
Yes.
Got made communist, probably.
Yes. And they had a wonderful, wonderful slash sad sculpture outside near the Parliament House. It's quite famous. It's the shoes all lined up.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's all just a row of shoes made out of metal or brass or something, but just to sort of signify that World War II time, and that's nearer to the sort of Jewish area, so that's a bit nice, sad, but a nice, I guess, memorial. Or
I've also gone ahead and prepared a list of famous Hungarians.
Why, thank you. Please.
You might not know they were Hungarian. Going to start with some obvious ones. Adrian Brody.
Yes, who was in The Pianist.
The Pianist. And maybe on the late night edition of the Lovely Travels podcast, I can tell you the joke about the 6-inch pianist.
I think you just did that.
Then there is Robert Capa, who was a famous combat photographer.
Okay.
Everyone has probably seen a Robert Capa picture in their life, but just not known it. So that's a good one to look up. Harry Houdini.
Ah, that feels right. Yes.
Yeah, famous escapologist. I learned.
He is.
He was born in Hungary. The now two interesting ones, which I didn't know. Laszlo Biro.
As in the inventor of the pen, the biro.
Inventor of the ballpoint pen, that's right. Who actually had some sweet form of revenge when the Allies used ballpoint pens in their bombing runs over the Nazis. Because he, of course, suffered under the Nazi invasion of Europe and, got some revenge.
There you go.
And one more. Another good one is Tommy Ramone of the Ramones. He's also from Hungary.
There you go. Now that one, I've heard of them. I'm not
familiar. But you didn't know he was Hungarian.
I didn't know that. And I'm not super familiar with their music, which people might hate me for, but I know the band. I know of the band. Very famous.
That's good. That's good.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing. That was excellent.
You're welcome.
Write to
us with any other famous Hungarians you might know. info@lovelytravels.com.
Yes, please. Please do. We would love to hear that. And of course, if you've been, and we're going to be sharing some images on the Lovely Travels Instagram at Lovely Travels. So please do tag us in your pictures. Or we have obviously the Facebook Lovely Travels community. We'd love to see your time there. Where did you stay, Darius?
We had an Airbnb in Budapest.
But in Buda or Pest?
Buda, I think.
The castle side?
No, not the castle side.
Then you were in Pest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Castle side is Buda.
That's the nicer side.
Well, depends who you're talking to. Well, I remember this. The Buda side say that the Pest, it's better to live in the Pest side because then you get to see Buda. You get the beautiful view of Buda. So
we were right across the road from the Lidl. In case anyone is
there, you go.
Is on the main road.
We've talked about this before, but one of our favorite things to do is to go to a shop. And we also stayed in an Airbnb, and there was just like a little arcade and just a little grocer nearby. So I think we kind of got in later in the afternoon, and it was just fun to go to the shop, and we just picked up a few sort of cheese and bicky type things and some wine, and it's just such a novelty going into a store. It's a very everyday experience, but in a very different place. I couldn't tell you. Well, I could probably look it up where we stayed and where the shop was, but it was nothing fancy. But it was just a really nice experience to go down there, and I think we bought some bread and just fun to do those sorts of things. We had an excellent Airbnb, and I think Budapest is one of those places where Airbnb is very good but also problematic. Like the place we stayed, the person who met us was clearly a manager of a number of Airbnb properties.
They were
being used very much as a business type thing. But it was a really great apartment and really well decked out. One of my up there Airbnb experiences. And when we were looking to go for my friend's hens, we were looking for Airbnbs, and there was a real great variety of choice. We were looking for like 14 or 16 people, and there were really some cool places we could have stayed. So that's probably – it's a place where I would say Airbnb is probably the way to go. But you just got to decide if you want to be on the castle side or on the other side. On the Pest side.
In retrospect, I probably would have picked the Airbnb somewhere else. We were quite close to like where all the bars and stuff are, obviously, which was okay. But I think maybe something on the Buda side, maybe a bit nicer. The weather was so bad when we were there. It was raining and like slushy snow everywhere, and it was just gross. So I think it didn't do the city justice. I would recommend going in spring or maybe summer, just not in February.
Yep.
It's that time, like everyone in Europe is over winter at that stage as well. So like
everyone's a bit grumbly, are they?
So I think so.
Yeah. I wonder what it'd be like in summer. Like, it'd be very hot.
It'd be really nice.
Pretty, but hot. One of the walking tour took us through a little park. Like, it was really nice. And there was a Ferris wheel in the park. But just that lovely, the way the buildings sort of outline the park. I like that. That's quite European. It just was a really nice shape and had a nice feel to the area. And then I think we wandered towards, and the bars, I believe, like those famous ruin bars are in the Jewish quarter, near to the Jewish quarter. I actually did have this written down. The memorial is called Shoes on the Danube, and it's right near the Hungarian Parliament, and they are made of bronze, and it is a memorial to those killed in Budapest during World War II. So that was something I really appreciated seeing. I would go back in a heartbeat. I would really love to go back with my partner, well, my husband, Matthew. I think it's a nice place for couples. And I think 3 or 4 days is such a great little trip. We were, I think,
Yeah.
I think we were 2.5, 3. Like, we could have used maybe one more day, but that would have been really quite nice.
Yeah, definitely worth a short trip if you're into history and pretty buildings and good food and mostly friendly people, I'm happy to say.
And we are well aware that we're really talking as well. Our Hungarian experience is very much Budapest. It would be cool to see more. And and we were both there at the same time, accidentally, I got Prague vibes. And when I did a little trip outside of Prague, Czech Republic, yeah, Prague vibes. It was really lovely to get out of the city and to see sort of the daily life. So I would really next time, maybe, yes, extending a day or two to at least see some of the countryside and maybe some more of that castle sort of history and things like that.
Yeah, my next trips are not going to be to capital cities. They can all do their capital city thing. I'm over it. Sick of cities.
Well, I liked that on our road trip, really digressing here, but I liked that on our road trip when we went through the Baltics. That was really cool to – and that's a benefit if you were and that's really sad, actually. We – and I hope we get to do it, but Matthew and I, when we were going to our friend's wedding, which was in Slovakia, we were going to be going driving from Austria to Hungary – back to Slovakia, back to Austria. Like, we were doing a road trip around the area, so around all through Germany as well, going to do Oktoberfest. So it would have been really cool to, yeah, I would have actually got to see more of those countries in a different way. I look forward to doing that in the future.
One day
again, we shall, but... Yes, I would happily go back to Budapest. I would happily go back to Hungary. I do not. Do you remember any words or anything like that?
There was something as Kert. I think that might be like the courtyards or something. Kert, something Kert. This Kert, that Kert. Kosinam or Kosinom is thank you, I think.
Thank you. Yeah. Kosinom. Oh, that's coming back to me now.
Kosinom. Kosinom. Something like that. There was more words. I don't remember.
I think they were probably...
Goulash?
Goulash, yes. I think we probably, yes, both had a few beverages that might be making that bit hazy. And it was such a brief time and it was a few years ago now. So that is Hungary. That is what we... that is us done.
Lonely Planet must be on the phone looking for exclusive guides from us for Budapest and Hungary.
Well, I didn't want to just read out my article. Like, I actually have a lot of content in there, but I didn't want to just read that out. I was trying to be
in it for the clicks.
In it for the clicks.
Click on the article, friends.
So Hungary, in terms of my country count, was number 42 out of the UN-recognized countries I visited, and overall it was my 49th country. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just that's my fun fact.
good fact.
Well, so we already spruiked our channels. Yeah. Check us out at the website, lovelytravels.com. There will be some posts about Hungary, and we'll put in some of those tips of places to go. We've mentioned quite a few in here, and please do keep on listening if you haven't already. You might be just here by chance. Subscribe, rate, review, love us, share us with your friends. We really appreciate it. And until next time, Darius.
That's right. I'll see you on the flip side. And thank you for listening, everyone. And talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Already looking forward to the next one. We also have a rather extensive back catalogue for you to check out. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram. That's @lovelytravels on Instagram.
Or you can come and check us out on Facebook, Lovely Travels. That's LOVELLY. Or we would love for you to join our Facebook community with more than 500 members talking all things travel and adventure. That's the Lovely Travels community.
You can also visit our website, which is lovelytravels.com.
Or shoot us an email. We love hearing from our listeners. So please send us an email, feedback, comments, questions, whatever. info@lovelytravels.com.
And you can listen, review, subscribe, like, share, and promote our podcast in any shape, way, or form. We are on Spotify, iTunes, the internet, Google Podcasts. Everywhere where you get podcasts, you will find us.
All good podcasting locations. So tune in next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.